Questions? Yes, yes, Koki. If we don't have any gurus around who can give us refuge, we take it with a statue. If we can take it with a guru, it will be much better because they have a lineage to pass. They have an oral transmission to pass. And they can give us teachings and explanations on the value of refuge.
So by doing that, and they, even though they are lamas, you know, but they still take refuge with a statue, does that just create a cause to have a refuge lama in the future?
In such cases, the Indian mentor, Shanti Deva, explained in engaging in the Bodhisattva's deeds. Sincere disciples may also take Bodhisattva vows in the presence of Buddha statues or paintings. If none are available, they may even take them before Buddhas and Bodhisattvas visualize as present. So if we take refuge in front of a Buddha or a Bodhisattva because there's no gurus around, we have no choice. We're dying to hold our vows. Then it's permissible. It is permissible. Then after that, we call ourselves a Buddhist. And if there are gurus and masters around, and we don't see any that we gain faith in or gain confidence in, and then we take refuge in a Buddha statue, it's still all right. What to do? And if we have fear that by taking refuge with a guru, we lose our freedom, we have to practice guru devotion, or they might make us do things that we wouldn't do if they weren't our guru, but if they're our guru, we have to do, we have fear of that, and we take refuge, then it's not really a good refuge. Why? We didn't take refuge. We didn't surrender. We're still holding on. We're still trying to bargain. You understand? And by taking refuge in front of a Buddha statue, does it create causes to have a teacher in the future? Not necessarily. If we take refuge and we don't hold our vows and we don't practice and we don't transform ourselves and we don't make fervent prayers to meet a lama, then we won't. We have to create the cause. But taking refuge and holding our vows and having faith and confidence and praying to the Buddhas to turn the wheel of Dharma, that I may learn the Dharma, by praying to turn the wheel of Dharma and may I learn the Dharma, then we will create the causes of getting a Dharma teacher. Just like in the Guru Yoga Lama Tsongkhapa, when we ask him to rain down a vast rain of shunyata and great compassion. What is that? Rain down shunyata and compassion, intangible attainments? No. It means to turn the wheel on that so that we can study it and gain those attainments. Understand? Mm-hmm. Questions? Questions? People are tired, but people are thinking and are very happy. People really are thinking very hard. Yes, Irene.
If there are people who have jumped the queue and taken initiation first before refuge, is it necessary that they take refuge?
No, because in initiation, before taking tantric vows, you have to take bodhisattva vows. Before taking bodhisattva vows, you have to take refuge vows. So during initiation, refuge is automatically included. No, it's automatically included, which means you have taken it. Okay? So if you've never taken refuge and you have met a lama, you have total faith and you know you can really do the practice. Never mind taking refuge vows. If you take tantric vows, it's much, much more. If you can hold that, refuge vows is very simple. But since refuge vows is the foundation for all other vows to be relied upon or taken upon, then during tantric initiation, it is part of it given together. First, you will take your refuge in bodhisattva vows, and it goes like this. You have to recite that 3 times prior to, during initiation, prior to tantric vows. When you recite that 3 times in the presence of your lama and the meditational deity, you have taken refuge. And together with refuge, you have taken your bodhisattva vows, the 18 root vows and the 46 auxiliary. On top of that, after you have taken that, then immediately you will take the tantric vows. So in a tantric initiation, if you have taken a tantric initiation, refuge is automatically included. It's not a jump cue, it's inclusive. Why is it inclusive? other vows are dependent on the foundation of refuge vows. Okay? Questions? Ms. Nangal, do you understand that? Okay. Joseph, do you understand that? Questions? Yes? Sometimes you can, sometimes you cannot. Whether they're nice or they're elderly or not is besides the point. The point is there are some people whose karma is ripened. Their spiritual potential is ripened to receive it, some are not. Example, no matter how nice our pet dog is, how much we teach him the Dharma, he can't practice. Even our dog is the sweetest little dog in the world, he can't practice. So they're like a dog who doesn't have the faculties to understand the Dharma, they have the karma not to understand because of their environmental factor, their body. Then there are people also who don't have the environmental factors in their mind, in their body, in their current situation to comprehend the Dharma. For those people, there's nothing much we can do, sadly to say.
So is it the same with people who has no religious practices?
Have no what?
Religious practices.
If they outright reject, then that's a different story. If they don't outright reject or they're weak about rejection, if you practice and you change and you transform, you hang around them, there's a chance that they will do Dharma. If they see, you see, for people who are like that, they need an example to see. An example will transform their mind. Without an example, it's very, very difficult to say that the Buddha is good, this mantra is good. Why? They don't have any proof. So for people that we see that are around us and we want to bring them to the Dharma, we have to be the courageous one to practice the Dharma by transformation. Not necessarily reciting mantras or showing off, wearing pendants or having an altar or praying in front of them, but showing inner transformation. Because they'll think, hey, how come this person's like that, and now it's like that, so good on? Oh, this must be good. Then they'll be interested. And that's the best way. But sometimes, sad to say, even with that, it's hard.
If, let's say, it's a family member for elderlies, can we actually indirectly make dedication to them?
Of course we can. That's what we've been talking about for years. Of course we can, dearie. Sure, can we indirectly? Dear Buddha, I indirectly. You can. Buddha gave you a slap, cannot indirect dedicate. Of course you can. In fact, for even people who've passed away, you can do it too. Of course you can. Thinking still? I like your little button. We'll get another button that says, I have taken refuge. Make her wear on one of each her ears. I have taken refuge. See? Next time she go to England, Gangnam. What are you thinking about? You couldn't think about nothing. You're only dead, are you? What are you thinking about? Share with us. You've shared your other feelings. Quite hostile, but you've shared it. Yes, what are you thinking? So you're going to let another Lama Tsongkhapa fabulous day pass by, huh? Oh, she's going to take refuge on Lama Tsongkhapa Day. I accept. Isn't she cute? She's cute. The first time I saw her in Tower House, I put her next to me and I put her in the chair of honor. She learned her lesson. I took one look at her and said, oh my God, this is a freak. By the time I'm finished with her, she's going to be a devoted devotee. Just wait. I'm going to make sure she loses, gains her freedom. Oh, so I wonder who else is going to join her in refuge. What name am I going to give her? Let me see. Denzin what? Denzin Chating. Denzin Chating means holder of Dharma who's a chicken. Tenzin Ngukang, which means holding the Dharma with a bank. Tenzin Zongba. Businessman holding Dharma. Tenzin what? Tenzin US dollar. Tenzin Bank Negara. Think of India. Tenzin Fort Knox. Wouldn't you like to reincarnate as a cockroach in Fort Knox? You can run around the gold. You can have all the gold you want. Just think you can, all your eight legs can rub the gold all day long. And your antennas too. No? Don't wanna. All right. Isn't she humble and fabulous? This is how modern day gurus have to beg their disciples to become enlightened. See? You're gonna take refuge on Lonesome Gone Day? You're not gonna take on. I didn't say that. I didn't say that. What I tell you? I'm going for counseling called guru abuse. I didn't say that. Sure is smitchy. Mr. Ngao can't believe this. He's not from a place that treats llamas like that. He's in shock. He's in total shock. But another thing about Mr. Ngao, he hasn't been teased the whole night, so he's like holding his breath. We're almost finished. Do I pass one night without being teased about my hair? Mrs. Ngao's like, oh, she's or whatever. Like, you say what you want. She always has this expression like, but at least this time, it's my last time. Oh, I can see her teeth. Look, she smiled. Oh my God, Mrs. Ngao smiled. What a beautiful smile. I've never seen you smile. First time. Usually she's bad, like, she look, you know, I want to give her a ruler and an apple. She looks like a school teacher. Now she smiled. Very nice. Yeah. Mr. Ngao is avoiding my eye contact now. He's like, I'm busy reading. I like him. He has this, I don't know what it is, very soft heart, tough exterior, but very soft. First time he joined our center, you know, first time he come around for teachings, all that stuff. The first time, not joined, first time came around, you know, nobody can get him. He won't give his hand phone number, nothing. Got to call his office, get the answering machine. yo, this one, I tell you, it made your life go round and round and round until you're dizzy. Now we don't give him our hand phone number. No, I'm just kidding. No, very, very soft heart. I met him the first time here. Very first time I met. Very soft heart, rough exterior. Nice. Mrs. Ngao just checked me out for months. She had secret photographs. She'd go home, print it out, take a look. What does he want? What does he want? She come next time, take another picture from the side. Miss Ngao asked her, so what do you think of Rinpoche? I don't know. She always has this suspicious kind of, let me check Rinpoche outlook. I like these people. See, Mrs. Ngao, being the lady of her status and age, I can tease her. Very nice lady. Very nice. How dare I, but never mind. I'm quite daring. Any questions? Yes, Susan. Uh-oh. How do I convert my neighbor's boyfriend, friend's pet cat to the Dharma? When I teach the cat Omani Pemehong, it just meows at me. How? Yes, Susan. Unga. Oh, any sales today? Oops. Well, if their lamas are not local and they don't have a center to go to, it wouldn't be a conflict. If they're going to a regular center, it would be a conflict.
If let's say it's like male lama.
A male lama? No, I don't.
Like a mail
order bride? You mean they mail in the lama? Oh, no, it's no problem. You can bring him. It's okay. You can bring them in. It's okay. Really, I know what you're talking about. It's all right. Because it's not really centered, there's no conflict, it's okay. Because if they never see their lamas, they don't get much dharma, we can help. It's not a conflict, I understand. Mm. Nobody's looking at you, JT, relax. Yes, Shin. All initiations have commitments. There is no initiation without. So it'll be your attitude during the initiation. Usually, all right? I'm going to combine everything what you said. Usually, when you take any tantric initiation, If it's a lower tantras, you will have to take refuge and bodhisattva vows, and you have a commitment of holding those vows, even if you don't have to recite the deity's mantra. Let's say Avalokiteshvara, Vajrapani, Tara, Vaitara, Lama Tsongkhapa, Samantabhadra, Green Tara. All these deities are lower tantra, meaning the commitments are less, but you still have to take the bodhisattva vows and you have to hold the vows. Holding the vows is a commitment, but it doesn't mean you have to meditate or do the mantras or do any special practice of the deity, but you have to take those vows. When you take the higher Maha Anuttara Yoga Tantra initiation deities, such as Guhya Samaja, Yamataka, Hevajra, Vajugini, Chakra Samvara, Kala Chakra, right? You definitely have to take refuge. You have to take the bodhisattva vows in that initiation and the tantric vows. But because the Kala Chakra initiation has been a very special form of blessing for the public by the current and previous Dalai Lamas, the Dalai Lamas have made it an option for people attending the initiation whether they would like to take it as a blessing or as a commitment. But usually, it's not like that. But His Holiness has made an exception, whether it's a blessing or it's a commitment. So therefore, when you go for the initiation, if you think, I'm going for a blessing, it's a blessing, you have zero commitment, you don't take any vows. If you go as an empowerment to enter Kala Chakra as your personal deity and practice, you go in with that attitude, you take the vows. So when the Dalai Lama, when His Holiness is reciting the vows, you just don't repeat it if you don't want it. When His Holiness is reciting the vows and you want it, you repeat after Him. The last thing is, people who are not qualified, who do not understand, and they have no idea what they're doing, even when they sit in the initiation and recite the words, they didn't get the initiation. It's just the blessing. Okay? Are we clear on that first? Okay. That's what I just explained to you in those 4 points. When people go for an initiation and they do not take the vows, it is a blessing. It's a pure blessing. They have no commitments. Okay? They can't even go into the tantric text that's related to them and practice them. They can't. It's just a blessing. Blessing means you got a blessing. Secondly is, if they go in there not knowing at all, then it's still a blessing. If they go in there knowing, willingly and understanding, and then they recite and they take the vows, then it becomes a commitment. So is your attitude. I can't really criticize or comment. All I can say is I am very not for people coming and giving initiations to people who are not ready. I did that many years ago. When I first found out I'm going to Malaysia to teach, I automatically assumed, because I thought it's Asia, I thought it's Malaysia, I thought there's a lot of Buddhists, I automatically assumed that people here knew Buddhism, they knew it well, it's from their own culture, and I don't have to teach the preliminaries, I can just go into Tantra and teach them that. That's what I thought. So when I first came here, I went around giving initiations, and then when after the initiation, when I started getting questions from people, I realized that I have to go back to preliminaries. In fact, so those who go for initiations, you see, the reason people do that is some lamas think, and this is what Sorumchi said. This is a little frightful, but don't be threatened. Most of us are going to go to the three lower realms anyway. So it would be better that before we go to the three lower realms, we receive a higher power initiation so the seeds are planted in our mind so that when we come out, we will have something when we come out. So with or without initiation, we usually do a lot of negative actions. We'll take rebirth in the three lower realms. So at least we come out, it's like we're going to war, but we've hidden the food away in a shack or under the ground, so that when we come out, we at least have the food. Some lamas have that view, that it's better to give it to people even if they are not ready. I don't really do that. I'd rather wait till they are ready. Some lamas I've heard say, and I believe that too, I believe it. I'm not against the thought, which is if they give the initiation and they plant the seeds of that deity in their mind, in the future when Maitreya Buddha appears, that will be an environmental factor for their seeds to open. They can receive the Dharma. Even if they've gotten Tara initiation, and then Maitreya appears, they don't have to wait till Tara appears for the seeds to open, because Tara and Maitreya is a Buddha. Anything virtuous will trigger the virtue to open. So I've heard Lama say that. I also believe that. But myself, because I will be here long term, and I wish to establish a good relationship with my friends and students, I think I can go progressively. If I was to come in and out, maybe I would have a different view of just giving the initiation and going off, because that's the best benefit I can give people. That's a very good motivation in that way for many lamas. There are some Dharma centers who do not let their lamas, or don't have the time for the lamas to get to know the public very well. So if they have initiations, it's a very big event. People come, donations come, members come, so it helps their center. So there are many reasons they do that. I have never been to a center. I have never been to any center that I've studied or stayed at that has done number two. I've always been to number one. Because I remember when Kepjo Sarmji came to America, he gave a lot of initiations. And to tell you all the truth, I only wanted one or two. I wanted one or two, the ones I received from my first guru, to repair my vows. I didn't want to get any more, but I got it all. And when I asked Geshe-la why he requested so much and why I have to get more, he says, plant seeds in your mind. And now when I think back, thank God Geshe-la forced me to, because now I can pass it to other people when it's time. Maybe he knew something. I don't know. But I have no regrets now. But for people who do not have to teach Dharma, for people who do not have to disseminate the Dharma, I do not recommend you taking a lot of initiations. I do not recommend. I recommend you taking one and doing that really well. And that's why I always tell people in our center, stick with me, just get one in the future when we are really ready. That's all. One yidam, one practice, one sadhana, one focus, one retreat, and we do that every year. That was the style of Geshe. Of Kenso Losan Tachin Rinpoche, my first teacher in New Jersey. He gave one, and he made people do retreat. He gave teachings every year on just one. It's not that he doesn't know anything else. He told us why, and that was exactly what I explained to you. And people here don't get initiation. Don't. Just wait and get one. Is that all right? Now, do you know how to answer?
Does it mean that any initiation is actually
a lower? No. Lower and higher doesn't mean hierarchy. Lower and higher refers to the path that is presented in that tantra.
So, like, for example, let's say mantra chanting in general, let's say they get a CD that has Tara or whatever, all this. Because some, they might ask, oh, do you need anything like, you know, to just chant the mantra?
I can't tell you I can't tell you this is secret, this is not, but I can tell you which deity is and which deity is not. For general purposes, Tara, the normal form of Tara, not the Anuttara Yoga Tara, she has many forms. The normal form of Tara is general. The normal form of Avalokiteshvara, the four-armed one and the thousand-armed one, anyone can do. Anyone. Okay? The normal form of Vajrapani, the two-armed one that you see, anyone can do. Lama Tsongkhapa, with and without initiation, you can do. Buddha Shakyamuni, with and without initiation, you can do. Dzambala, with and without initiation, you can do. Manjushri, Orange, Manjushri, you can do. Black Manjushri, in extreme cases, you can do without initiation. White Manjushri, it would be better if you have initiation. White Tara, without initiation, you can do. Generally, the Dharma protectors, you can do without initiation. Generally. Such as Mahakala, Four-Faced Mahakala, Six-Armed Mahakala, Setra, Benden Lhamo, Vaishavana, White Mahakala. Generally, the Dharma protectors you can do without initiation. Okay? The general Saraswati, you can do without an initiation. The mantra is Om Saraswati Hrim Hrim. Okay, that one you can do. There are other forms of Saraswati you can't do without initiation. It would be better to have it. Maitreya, you can do without initiation. Om Maitreya Mam Soha. Om Maitreya Mam, M-U-M, Soha. You can do. Yeah, Maitreya Mam. Egazati, you can do without initiation. I think that should pretty much cover it. Questions? Yes. If a highly evolved being is taking rebirth in a mother's womb, and the mother has this highly evolved being in their stomach, and for 9 months they feed the baby. They give it sustenance, they keep it warm, and they keep their bodies healthy for it. Does that person collect merit? By virtue of the object or the person and his motivation or her motivation? Very good. Why not the person's motivation? I ask you a question, you answer correctly. That lady collects merit by virtue of the object or the motivation of the lady. You answered object, which is correct. Now I want to further clarify with you, why not the motivation? Very good. Excellent. So therefore, if you do Dharma and you're living in your mother's house, you're living in your parents' house, and they feed you, they give you a salary, they take care of you, does it indirectly help them? It definitely does. You understand the logic behind that? It definitely does. So in fact, if we're living at home and we're doing Dharma practice, whether our parents knows it or not, or likes it or not, if we do it quietly and skillfully, it definitely benefits them. Definitely. If it benefits them, if you're in their stomach, a highly evolved being, even if we're not a highly evolved being, but we're trying to become one because the motivation is there, and we take things from them in a good way, it benefits them. If we're taking things from our parents and we don't do that and we break our commitments, we take an initiation, we got bodhisattva vows, we got tantric vows, we got refuge vows and we break it, it doesn't help our parents at all. That's why I say if we practice Dharma, we can help our parents if we love them enough. So if we love all sentient beings, we practice Dharma. If that one's too big for us, if we love our parents, we can practice Dharma. If that's still too big for us because we're too selfish, then if we love ourselves, if that still cannot, I don't know what to say anymore. So I give people many levels for them to buck up and practice the Dharma because all those are valid. Understand? Very good question. Questions? Yes, Bonita. In what way? Okay, you're asking if it's possible or not? It is possible. Definitely it is. The methods, many methods. Just like what she just said, what I just explained to her, many methods. But definitely we can. Definitely. Becoming a monk or nun benefits our parents directly quite a lot. So if becoming a monk and nun benefits them, then doing other Dharma practice definitely will benefit them. Definitely. Mm-hmm. Definitely. Questions? Intriguing and engaging, isn't it? You sure? Yes.
I think I heard you say to take coordination, it should be a natural, it should be already at the level of mind. So my question would be
renunciation. To take ordination, we must have renunciation and refuge. It's not necessary to have bodhicitta or Mahayana motivation. It's not necessary.
So
if we have bodhicitta or we have Mahayana motivation to take ordination vows, it's even better. But it's not a requirement. But to take tantric initiation, to have bodhicitta or Mahayana motivation is a requirement.
So
tantric vows are higher than ordination vows. Much higher.
So if somebody, so the person can see, I'm going in a bad direction, but I cannot stop myself voluntarily. So, but if I take monk ordination, even if I would be a great monk, but still kind of be like damage control, would that still be a valid reason to take ordination?
Yes. Yes, because you want self-liberation. You want to free and help yourself, it's still okay.
Yeah, or maybe keep
just yourself, it's okay. It's okay. And if you take the vows and you hold it, every day you hold it, you collect the merit. So maybe a year later you learn even more Dharma, then from then on you think it can be benefit for my parents. From then on it'll be even more benefit for your parents by holding the vows. As long as it's not broken. You understand? Mm. Questions? That's why I say holding vows and taking vows is from compassion. Is from compassion. Practicing Dharma is from compassion. The real reason is from compassion. Questions? Yes, Paris. That obstacle is removed, that obstacle. But the opening of other karmas will create more obstacles. So that's why continuous practice is very good. Just like if we eat a lot during Chinese New Year's, and then we go work out in the gym, for that meal that we ate a lot, that gym session helped. But the next time we eat a lot, we need another gym session. Very good question. If your karma to suffer that obstacle, but if that obstacle is very big, it can throw you off completely. It can create you to go into a situation where you create even more negative karma, have no chance to come out again. So with the Dharma protector, he can temporarily help you or push you or help you to recover back faster by making propitiation to him. And by making propitiation to him, if he's an enlightened being, she's an enlightened being, you collect a temporary merit for them to do something for you. Yes. And you collect, so when you make offerings of black tea, you do the praises. Because when you do protective practice, when you read it, it's actually generating bodhicitta and all that, right? So you generate the immediate merit for them to do something for you so that it allays and pushes away those problems so it doesn't get so big. It's like if you walk in busy traffic, you're not aware, you can be run over. Someone comes and just pulls you out. But it doesn't mean that you'll be safe tomorrow if you don't pay attention. All right? So if we do this propitiation daily, to Dharma protector, it definitely can help us quite a lot for removing obstacles, quite a lot. And it builds. And why Dharma protectors? They specifically emanated for that job. So why not meditate on a green tower for great wisdom? Of course you can. You think she's dumber than Manjushri? You think Manjushri is smarter than her? Of course not, but Manjushri specifically emanated for that reason. So if you tap into that reason, it will be more effective than Tara for developing wisdom. Okay? Questions? And Dharma protector practice, when we do daily, the energy will build up. So in the future, sometimes if we skip it, sometimes we don't do it, the protection will be there and it will be very swift. It's very, very effective. Questions? Any more questions on refuge? Ask now or forever hold to peace. Lama Tsongkhapa Day is around the corner. Yes? Oh, it's going to be another question. All questions and how much practice? We can hold the precepts of refuge without taking refuge. Then what's the point of taking refuge? So why should Xiao Qian take refuge? She can do all the things that without taking the vows that to avoid. So why take refuge? No, it's more than that. Yes?
Once you get all the lineage blessings, and you're all, it's like transmission blessings, you're allowed all the ones before that to push up the moon, and that special deity is like 1,000 volts instead of 10 volts.
That's correct. And the Lama formally introduces you to the Dharma protector, like introducing to you to a powerful ally and friend. And on top of that, the Lama passes you the transmission, and the Lama passes you the mantra transmission, so when you do the practice, it's much more effective than if you do without. Doing Dharma protector practice or practices without oral transmission or commitment to the Lama, the benefit is not as great as if you have a commitment. Why? Because there's something to pass to you, a transmission, oral transmission, lung. You understand? Yes, Mr. Ngao. Propitiate means to solicit. Serva, ya serva. Sowa ya dap. Sowa ya dap. Serva, chit serva, sena. Would be the Tibetan word serva or solwa dap. Means to propitiate means to enact the seven limbs with the Dharma protector. The seven limbs is invitation. The seven limbs is rejoicing. The seven limbs is confession. The seven limbs is offering. The seven limbs is requesting to turn the wheel of Dharma. The seven limbs is dedication. So when we propitiate a Dharma protector, we are using the seven limbs to make direct contact with an enlightened being in a ferocious form, not necessarily ferocious, but ferocious form according to the seven limbs. You understand? So when we do that according to the seven limbs, everything that the benefits that are accrued in the seven limbs will be received from propitiating the Dharma protector. So propitiating is more than praying. It's also confession. It's also rejoicing. It's also making offerings. It's also invitation. It's also requesting the wheel of Dharma to be requesting the wheel of Dharma to be turned. It's including rejoicing, etc. So when we propitiate, it's the whole ritual according to the seven limbs and the Dharma protector. Whereas we pray, we just fold our hand, offer some incense, and request something. So it's more extensive. Understand? Question? Yes, Paris? If your Lama doesn't have the knowledge to teach you what the other Lama is teaching, then you may request permission to go. If your Lama has the knowledge to give you the teaching that the other Lama is giving, then you don't need to request permission to go. If you have parents, why look for step-parents? Right? So if you're sure your Lama doesn't have that knowledge and you want to get it, if he's a real Lama, he definitely won't be jealous. You'll say, yeah, I don't know that. Please go learn and come and tell me. But if your Lama knows that, and then you say, can I go for another Lama for teachings? Like I said, if you have parents, why look for step-parents?
It may just be a matter of being curious.
Curious for? If you've taken refuge and you have a lama, there's no curiosity, there's practice. I mean, are you going there to be a spectator? Are you going there to be a spy? Are you going there to get ideas? Or are you going there to compare your lama? Or are you going there because you like watching another exotic ritual? What's the reason? Then I wouldn't go. No. Do not be shocked at her. I appreciate what she says. I really do. I appreciate it. She's brave enough and strong enough to say it. That is very good. Then I would really recommend you not to go for entertainment. And I appreciate you saying that. I really do. Yes. If you're going there to increase your knowledge and learning, to see a different approach, and your mind is strong and stable, you ask your lama, yes, he will say yes. But the main reasons why, I mean, according to the scriptures, the main reason why we go to another lama, why our lama is present, is if he cannot accommodate what we need to know. That's the main reason. And there are cases where the lama doesn't know this one. I mean, not all lama know everything. So they will send you to another lama that they recommend to learn this, 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 and this. That does happen, definitely. Okay? But I wouldn't recommend for entertainment. Of course you can. If you're going for formal teachings and initiations and rituals, you should ask your lama. Otherwise, why have a lama? But if you're going there to hello, hello, interview them for a newspaper, all that, why not? Of course you can. Definitely. Now we all know what you're going to do. Questions? I like the way she always speaks third person. I wonder who that might be. Yes? That's good. Are they groupies? That's quite cute. Well, you answer them. Are they groupies or what? Groupies. Like a rock club, fan club. That's quite cute. Groupie. Dear, none of the llamas are local. None of the llamas are local, dear. Go ahead, I'm just kidding. You mean they don't stay here permanently? How are we going to sell them a statue? Just say it, Suzanne, say it. What does that have to do with us growing? I don't get it. The Sao Chan's coming out. Oops. Do you understand it now, groupie? So you're saying let them go around and let them shop around and find until they find something that touches them. Then how? If they already have a guru and then they're grouping around. Very good. Yeah. Very good answer because they're unsure. That, if they've taken commitments with their guru, yes. If they've taken commitments, if they haven't, they just go attend the ceremony and say, oh, it's my guru, and they run around, they're not really serious.
Like what Xiao Chen did say, even like that's the vows that she needs to hold,
Say that again, huh?
There are people who may not even understand the situation.
Okay.
And they shop around.
Then it's okay, let them shop around. Then until they meet their guru that can teach them not to shop around. Yes, yes. Thank you, Andy. Do you get that? Joseph, what do you think? The more you guys talk, the more confused she's getting. She's like... Okay, go ahead. For volunteers and salespeople, I think he really will teach them how to do sales. Doesn't look at him. You wouldn't mind doing that, would you? Of course he can. In fact, I have a feeling you want to get more involved with the outlets. Because how... what it's doing and how it's creating profits, all that, you have even more interesting ideas to add. I have that feeling that you're waiting to find an opportunity to slip in to help in the outlets, not just as a salesperson once a month, never mind luck, but actually as a governing body to help business grow. Am I right? Don't make me lose faith. And while I'm saying all this, the miss is like, very cute. Well, do I feel that you feel that if Henry was like Avalokiteshvara and had four arms, it would be better than two? And that you're now that you're retired and relaxed and you're itchy, not the backside, just the hand lock, that maybe you can do something for the outlets and you can talk to somebody beyond just a mere volunteer salesperson? Do you feel itchy? Look at Mr. He's quite funny, I tell you. I feel that. Mwang. Don't you have some wonderful retail ideas for the outlets, Mr. Ngao? Oh. So, do you... My good friend, if I want a cup of coffee, I don't care where it comes from. Just give me that coffee. So if you want to ask your 35 retail friends at the Rotary Club how to make business grow, and you come and tell me, whether you tell me they told you and you learn, or you tell me that you know, I don't care. Just give me that coffee. You're very humble. No problem at all. Quit begging. You're in. That would be very, very nice, because I just sense this boredom in you. Your wife is becoming enlightened week by week doing this prostration. You're just sitting there going, what do I do now? Soon I'm going to have to put my wife on the altar. I'm still here. How? Prostration, I cannot right now. How? And then he goes to the outlets and he's looking, he's itching like, oh, who do I talk to? Who? He's so desperate. He grabbed David. Let me talk to you. Your method worked. David went to the top and reported what you said. It worked. All right, let me put that in my mind. Mr. Ngao wants to help in the outlets to make it grow and be successful and expand even more. So if I don't put him in, it's bad karma, because he wants to make merit. All right. So the next outlet meetings, you're going to be invited. Will you be available? Now can I? Now, can they have your hand phone number? You heard, okay, Henry? Don't forget. Henry wouldn't feel jealous or threatened, would he? Happy birthday. And I tell you, Henry will hand it all over. Happy birthday. And Mr. Ngao would be saying to Henry, how do I be a liaison? Henry would be like, there are ways. This is Malaysia, you know. Mr. Ngao like, how? Henry be like, it'd be very, very easy way. Very easy. And then Henry would come to me and say, I have a new suggestion for a liaison of business. Wouldn't it be better to have two? One is good, two is good, isn't it? And then while he's offering the kata prostrate over, a big ang pao falls out from Mr. Ngao and says, "To Henry from Mr. Ngao, help me." I knew Mr. Ngao was itching to help. I knew it. All right. Oh, he was sending me this. He was sitting at home chanting, "Oh my, Yachaza, get me in the outlet, Hongbei, get me in the outlet. I want to help, I want to help, I want to help, I want to help, Hongbei." Would that be okay with you, Mrs. Ngao? Oh, how nice. You don't mind when he does Dharma work, huh? Yeah. Thank you, thank you. What a great wife. Oh, good. How exciting. Now with Mr. Ngao in, you're going to do a lot more sales. Isn't she smart? She talks about helping people, getting people to Dharma, and they learn more teaching. That's about getting more sales. How? Isn't she? She's good. Huh? She's a good supervisor. I like her. Yeah, okay, okay, never mind. I like your twisted motivation. It works. Okay, this is really, really fun. Any more questions? Any more? You guys are really, I'm having a great time. I was quite tired around 12 hours. But now I'm okay. Yes, who, what? JP's thinking, "I'm glad you're having fun." You don't have to get up and go to work, you monster. Sao Chen's relaxed and she's happy because she doesn't have to fly to Singapore tomorrow. She'll probably have to go till Monday or something. That's why she's all relaxed. Questions? Angel's in the back giving me signals. Questions? She's like, Paul, questions? Nothing at all. How's your stomach? Okay? No more diarrhea? Your fever? Vomit? Good. KB? Questions? Nothing, huh? What about Sharon? Oh, we gotta get out of here. They gotta fly to Canada in 4 hours. Are you guys all packed? You gonna have enough time to pack? Oh my God. I'm so sorry. Okay. Please, let's do the final dedication for this in our prayer books. Really, are you guys going to be all right? Oh. Almost what? Almost, huh? You're going to be gone for how long? Oh, that's not too bad. I thought it was something ridiculous like 3 weeks. Let's do a quick dedication. And then we send these two ladies off, and then we'll do a slightly longer one. Everybody, they have to go. Just you two, right? Yes. Who? Paris also got to go, right? You got to go. You don't got to go to Canada, do you? Sorry? Okay. Dasol. Janju. Tony. Gewan. Chijabo. Very good. Susan, Sharon, go. You go, all right? For the rest of us, let's do a dedication of virtues from beginning, middle, end that we always do in Ganden, Sarah Drepung. And it's in the dedication section on page 9. It's called A Prayer of Virtues, Beginning, Middle, and End. And we'll include Sharon and Susan in our prayers. It's the same thing. So for these 3 days of teachings and people organizing and people arranging and assistance and all this stuff, typing and working, let's dedicate it for something auspicious. Okay? Under the dedication section. That's the green file, huh? Auspicious and dedication prayers. Page 9. Is everybody there? Where's your car? Nearby? Do you need help to carry anything? No, huh? Okay. David, you open the door for them, see them out, huh? Thank you two so much. Thank you very much. Thank you very much. And have a good trip. We'll see you soon. When you arrive, everything okay? Just send an email that you're okay. I don't think SMS works. Okay? Thank you. May the boundless prayers Very good. Now we've finished the 3 days of teachings. It's been very good. We've done an extensive dedication. Now the only thing left is, as we're getting up to go and leave, whatever, without gossiping too much or talking too much, we should rejoice. To seal it very firm is we should think, what a great occasion I have to learn the Dharma. What a great auspicious life I have. And I'm very, very lucky to be able to engage in Dharma. I'm very, very happy. And these 3 days, I didn't waste my time. Really, and some of the obstacles I went through, being sick or like doubtful or fidgety, or sometimes I have headache, or sometimes I'm hot, or sometimes I'm tired, it's all been worth it. I've never ever suffered or had suffering for something of a higher purpose. I've had suffering for small purposes and small things that brought not much benefit. I am very, very happy that I was able to endure some sufferings and physical discomfort and mental discomfort for something very high, the Holy Dharma. I rejoice. I'm very happy, and I rejoice sincerely. And may I have many of this in the future. And as I have more and more and more, then all sufferings that I endure doesn't become suffering, actually becomes happiness. Very good. Very, very good. We did good deeds and good works.